Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Great Monday show for you today. Second hour, Father Kirby will be here with us. Father Jeff Kirby, who we've had on before, and he's got a new book out, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. And if you are at all interested in doing it the Lord's way, you probably are. I'm guessing you are. Father Kirby will help get you back on the straight and narrow if you've wandered. It's a great book, and he's a great guest, and we're looking forward to have him on. This hour, the most beloved person in Catholic media, Dr. Reg Rendy, is here as our guest. He's got a new book, Family Faith Under Fire. They made it alliteration just to make it difficult for me. Practical answers to everyday challenges. Dr. Reg Rendy, welcome.
There are those who would like to take a vote on that sigh on the word beloved.
Oh, really?
I might not break the 50-50 mark.
I don't think that's true.
I'm going to get a plurality of votes.
I saw you at the big radio conference just recently, and I would have to say beloved is probably a mild word for the way you were received there.
Well, you know, if I'm that lovable, I don't even know why I should even be with you. I should go other places.
I don't know why you take the time, but I appreciate that you do, but I don't know why you do. One thing that I absolutely loved at that thing, and I just want to say this, I didn't mean to, but now is the fact that Jim Carroll got a beautiful award and a standing ovation at Spirit Catholic Radio, one of the leaders in Catholic Radio, and just a beautiful man, a beautiful story. I was so happy to see that.
He is. Jimmy is one of the best. He truly is.
Yeah, and they do great, great stuff up there.
He said something one time. He said he had a volunteer of, and I don't know if I heard him right, 2,000 volunteers.
Oh, I don't doubt it. If there's anybody that could do it, it would be Jim Carroll. It's amazing the stuff that they've accomplished up there and helped everybody else. And, you know, he said in that little talk that he gave there when they gave him the award that part of his vocation, part of his calling was not just to make Catholic radio, but to help anybody else who wanted to get into it. And I know he lived up to that. I mean, there's people that are grateful to him,
you know,
all over.
I mean, Jimmy's a good guy, but yeah, maybe I can brag a little bit too here.
Go ahead.
We just heard from my son's parole officer that he was one of the nicest kids he has, you know? So when you hear something like that, your heart is warmed.
Oh, congratulations on that. That is beautiful. Yeah.
I want to show off, but you know.
Yes. Oh, congratulations. All right. Family Faith Under Fire, Practical Answers to Everyday Challenges, the new book from Dr. Reg Rendy. You are welcome to call and ask your questions of Dr. Reg Rendy. If you have questions about family and faith, 888-318-7884. Anybody can call with a question, 888-318-7884. And I got a whole series of questions here because I saw you, Doug Keck interview, and I thought, I'll just ask the same questions. Doug Cagdad, he's a professional. I'll just ask the same questions.
I didn't get them right the first time around. What makes you
no,
think
you've,
I'm
you've had
them
practice
the
now?
Time?
You've had practice. The faith, you know, you did say something in that conversation you had with Doug Keck about the fact that you might say, oh, 60% of the population or something is Christian and whatnot. But the overall thrust of it, if you looked at our culture and just said what we're, who we are, it's not Christian, and it's very hard on families.
George Gallup did a poll, this is a few years back, and he said that the majority of people who call themselves Christians are not really separate from the rest of the culture at large. Mm-hmm. He said there was about 10%, he called them living saints. They pray more, they give more, they worship more, they have more stable marriages and families. They live, as like your second guest is going to say, more along what Christ said to live. And he said there's about 10% of them. I think it's higher than that, but maybe that's Gallup's measure.
Yeah. So that means that the mother and father, I mean, and moms and dads are on their you know, they're on a journey, the faith journey of their life. And so maybe they're young and they think, well, they might not know that what they're about to face in raising children is an onslaught of powerful forces, including media, that really want to rob their kids of the faith.
The first few years, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, your kids are in your own cocoon.
Yeah.
You know, and you got your little 8-year-old son playing mass in the front room, and you're thinking, isn't this beautiful? Look at this. And they love them. They love the prayers, and this is all exciting for them. And parents are thinking, okay, this is just going to keep going in this direction. This is good. Well, you run into the culture. And a friend of mine put it this way, Si. He said the culture is like a belt sander. It's like, zzz, and it just sands off the religious edges that we try to give our kids if we're not careful. And I've seen that happen. One of the questions in the book that I'm going to deal with, and you'll probably ask me this because you're a fine interviewer.
Thank you.
Plus, it'll sell a lot of books.
Okay.
Is, you know as well as I do, our audience, especially the older people in our audience, their biggest disappointment is their kids have left the faith.
Right. Yes,
you hear this all the time.
Right, right.
It's epidemic. It's a generational faith epidemic.
Right.
I saw a statistic the other day, and again, I hope this one isn't true, Si. They said that approximately 15% of kids raised Catholic stay Catholic.
Oh, man. That's heartbreaking, isn't it?
I mean, I've heard 50 to 85% lose their faith in college. I've heard that. Mm-hmm. And I talk about that in the book, too, regarding what to do about college. But I also talk about how to take the guilt away from parents who feel like I failed. You know, we should have prayed the rosary in Aramaic while we knelt on broken glass and levitated.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't have just sat on the couch. That's what it was. Spiritual sloppiness. So we talk about that in the book. I try to take away the failure feelings.
Yeah.
I talk about what happens when one spouse loves the faith and the other one is at best lukewarm, at best. Mm-hmm. What happens when the kids say, why do I have to go to church when dad doesn't? What happens when somebody says, you know, if I had more faith, would I be less depressed? Would I be less anxious? What happens if somebody says, you know, I have this recurrent dream, and in it, I'm really doing some immoral things. No, is that an expression of what I really want to do? Oh. Is it percolating inside me? So those are the kind of questions I deal with in the book. The nitty gritty of trying to live your faith in a culture no longer on your side.
Hey, if you want to talk with Dr. Ray, 888-318-7884. I could say the doctor is in, and you are welcome to call with your questions. 888-318-7884. Maybe one of the things that, you know, that people can benefit from is my generation's and your generation's experience of that sander that just took off the cover of Christianity from kids at an early age. So are there things that you have in here that can say, you know what, we there are things you can do. We've seen this. We know what this is now. It maybe took a couple generations really by surprise, but you don't have to be surprised by it. Here are some things you can do to keep faith in the family and also help the kid to keep the faith as they grow.
One of the sadder things I see, Si, somebody will be sitting in my office with a 17-year-old, and they'll look at this child and say, I don't know who that is. We didn't raise him that way.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't think like we raised him. He isn't attracted to the faith like we raised him. And I'll say to them, I believe you. I know you didn't. But what you did is you underestimated what did. You know, you didn't see the onslaught of technology. You didn't see the peer group. You didn't see the way, way, way too early smartphone age. You didn't see any of that. You just thought that your kid was going to be raised in a stable, faith-filled home, and he'll by osmosis take in the faith. So what can you do? One of the things, you have to now be hypervigilant. For example, people will say, Well, I don't want to protect them forever. You know, that's a real world out there. They're going to be exposed to this, and someday they're just going to explode because all of a sudden they're going to say, my mom and dad didn't let me see any of this, and I'm 14 years old, and I just want to run from the faith. That's not what happens. What happens is, as you protect them a little longer, you slow down the pace. You don't watch stuff that you wouldn't watch. I had one mom tell me this. She said, we made a pact with our 12-year-old. From this point forward, we will never watch anything we do not allow you to watch. I think that's a nice thing. That's a very nice thing. Yeah. Smartphone. If you don't give a kid a smartphone, Cy, at age 13, you're now in the bottom 5%.
Right.
Do you realize the kind of strength a parent has to have to stand against that?
Yeah, right.
Three, you can't parent in fear. You can't say, they're going to resent me. They're going to get sneaky. They're going to go behind my back. They're going to look at their peer group and say, how did I get stuck with these Neanderthals over here? You cannot parent in fear. You have to know that the decisions you make are not going to be culturally popular. And your kid's going to know that. He's not blind. He's going to see. My mom and dad don't permit this. I'm too young. My mom and dad have never let me do that. I'm too young. So I tell parents, you have to protract the age of innocence. You know, one of the dumbest things, Cy, that parents get assaulted with. This is so ridiculous. And people of past generations would have just looked at this and said, what are you, nuts? Here it is. If your standards are too high, your kids are going to rebel.
Oh, yeah.
So think about the nonsense of that statement. If you raise a child with high standards, that's the very thing that is going to make them reject those high standards. My grandfather had a third grade education. If somebody would have told him, Angelo, you raise a Nicky with the high standards, he's going to rebel. My grandfather would have looked at them and said, that's my job, is to raise him with the high standards. In his broken accent, St. Anthony's Church, where Mother Angelica went to church. I'll bet my grandfather knew Rita Rizzo. I'm sure he did. I'll bet he did, because all the Italians went to St. Anthony's in Canton, because it was law. You had to.
Uh-huh. That was, I'm sure that was.
Italian law.
Yeah. 888-318-7884. You want to talk about this? Maybe you have practical questions. Maybe you say, all right, fine, Dr. Ray, but you have an objection or an obstacle that you want to share. You'd like to get some help with that. You are welcome to call. Or if your question comes from a different direction, if you want to talk about Family Faith Under Fire, the new book, Practical Answers to Everyday Challenges from Dr. Ray Guarendi, give us a call. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN, to reach the world with the gospel message. EWTN is the most trusted source of authentically Catholic content on the air today, featuring Mother Angelica, Teresa Tomeo, and Father Mitch Pacwa. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being here with us. It's awful nice to be with you, and we appreciate that you take the time to be with us. 888-318-7884 is the number. Our guest is Dr. Ray Guarendi, and he has helped so many people, for one thing, have confidence as parents. I do think that that is one of the gifts of Dr. Ray Guarendi, is to help us say, you know what, I know what I'm doing, or if I don't know what I'm doing, I'm still the parent, and I'm going to figure it out. another fine book from Dr. Ray Grandy, Family Faith Under Fire. Boy, is that the truth. Family Faith Under Fire, right now available wherever you get your good Catholic books, or you can go to Dr. Ray's. Oh, you better give me the website. I get everybody's website wrong. So I know they can go to your website to get it.
DrRay.com, DrRay.com. It's signed and it's discounted.
Okay, signed and discounted at DrRay.com.
So yeah. I should probably qualify that.
Yeah.
On the discount, you're only going to get maybe half the pages. Okay, you're not going to get the whole book. I'm going to take some of the pages away.
I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe you had to mark them down because you had signed them. Now they have your name in them, and you're like, well, they've been defaced. I'm going to
have to. You'll be hearing from my attorney.
Oh, sorry. I know you have one on retainer. 888-318-7884. I'm going to let a couple other folks talk with Dr. Ray Grandy, our guest, Michael, in Buffalo, New York, watching on YouTube. You are up first today. Michael, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a catechist in Buffalo, and I mainly work with adults. And one of the things I have been seeing recently is a lot of younger people, younger in their early, mid-20s, coming to the Catholic faith or interested in the Catholic faith when their families have fallen away.
Oh.
And so they'll come to the faith with really no reference at all, besides what the world has told them on like a secular level. And I was interested at what you would do with that approach, with introducing someone to the faith that really has no reference for Catholicism, and how you'd go about doing that in the world we live in.
First thing I would do, Michael, I would ask them my very first question. What is it that you most don't understand about the Catholic faith?
What is it
that confuses you? What is it that you don't agree with? That's the first thing. My grandmother came from Italy when she was 8 years old. If the priest at St. Anthony said, this is our faith, she'd say, the priest said it, therefore that's it, and I don't need anything else. These young kids, they need to know why. They're not satisfied with just the what. Most kids are raised with the what, but they don't know the why. They have no idea why the church teaches what she does, how it logically fits together. So you gotta go at what it is. You know, if they're gonna come to you, I asked Father Spitzer once, I said, What is the number one thing young people are confused about the church? And he said, they believe science has disproved it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can show them things like the shroud, the Eucharistic miracles, Guadalupe, the Toma of Guadalupe. You can talk about these things once they get into it a little bit, because they want to see that, in fact, the more you know about science, the more you believe the faith. So I'd really focus on that when I talk to the young people. I go, I want to hear it. What is it? What is it you don't understand? What is it that makes your head spin? What is it that everybody in your life tells you the Catholic Church is screwy about? Let me have it.
Wow, I really appreciate that. People don't know the contribution Catholics have given to society as far as science goes, education goes. It's kind of been lost to culture now, unless you're Catholic and happen to know it and appreciate it.
Very true. It's the interesting thing is, I remember when I left the church for 8 years, I was gone, Michael. And I begged God, I want to understand. I don't want to just drift through Christianity not knowing exactly what to believe. And I begged him. I said, please, just give me faith. I want faith. And it didn't happen like a lightning bolt, but what it did is I started to explore. I listened, you know, Cy, do you remember when Catholic Answers used to have This Rock?
The magazine. Yeah.
I went back and got 20 years of This Rock and read them all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I really wanted to know, tell me, you Catholics. Give me your best stuff. I want to see. And I think the young people, they're hungry for that. One of the other things I think you're dealing with too, Michael, is this. There was a survey done in Great Britain. And what they found was it's the young men coming to the church more than the young women. I don't know if you're seeing that, but that's happening. I think part of the reason for that is when you try it the world's way and you find out it stinks, you're looking for alternatives. And this Catholic thing, which is really a cohesive body of morality, is something you look at as countercultural. Okay, so if I'm going to be rebellious, maybe I ought to look at religion.
Michael, I'm so grateful for your call and for your question, and I'd like to say thank you for your work as a catechist. God bless you in that work. We'll send you a copy of Jimmy Akin's book, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist.
Great book.
Yeah.
I've read it so many times.
And so,
I corrected it and sent it back to Jimmy.
I'm glad you straightened him out. You finally straightened him out. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. The new book, Family Faith Under Fire. This is about the very topic that is really at the heart of the vast majority of the questions we get here, the vast majority of the requests we get. Dr. Ray has talked about the main thing that people want to know about is what happened to my children? How did this happen that the faith never took hold with them, or they lost the faith? This is the book right at the center of that. Get it today. I'm going to mess it up every time. I'm determined, I guess. Family Faith Under Fire. Practical answers to everyday challenges. Off we go now to Columbia, South Carolina, where Michael is watching on YouTube. Michael, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hey, Dr. Ray. Hey, people must have the same thing on their minds because I have a very, very similar question. My question is, I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. 7-year-old's in Catholic school. 5-year-old's in public school. She's autistic, so she's kind of hard to make her understand things. But I really want to catechize my kids well. And just speaking from experience, you know, I grew up in Catholic school my entire life. But I kind of felt like until I got to my 30s, I didn't really understand Scripture. And you have all these Protestants like naming off Scripture and stuff. That wasn't ever my experience. And it's kind of saddening because knowing Scripture, I know how well-versed the Mass and the sacraments are in Scripture. So other than, you know, taking my kids through the sacraments, what can I do to catechize them, especially in Scripture?
Okay.
Kids nowadays don't really want to know the what as much as they want to know the why. You got to tell them. You got to explain to them, this is why. This is why the Mass is like this. This is why they say this prayer. This is why we go to confession. This is why we pray to Mary. This is why we do these things. This is the beauty of them. This is the logic of them. Now, 5 and 7, they're pretty straightforward. You don't have to get fancy. But you can still explain it. You can tell them. And here's the other thing I would do too, Michael. Anticipate the kind of stuff they're going to run into as they get older. They're going to get questions from their peers. You know, why can't two people marry that love each other? Love is what matters. And if they're the same sex, why can't they get married? You know, the Catholic Church is really, really, really stiff about that. You know, they ought to let love rule. So they're going to hear this at age 13, and they may not bring it to you. Much of the time, they may not. And parents will say to me, by the time the kid gets 17, he's got all these objections, but the parents never heard any of them. The kids just absorbed them and figured, oh, that's probably true. The church is kind of bigoted that way, but they didn't bring it up. So I always tell parents, every step of the way, listen real close to see what might come out of that kid's mouth that you can say, where did you hear that? Why do you think that? Tell me about that. That's real important. If I had a regret as a father, I think that'd be one of them. I wasn't vigilant enough. We homeschooled, so we really drug out their childhood innocence. But at the same time, I think I should have been a little more aware of what could have been percolating in their mind regarding culture versus Catholic.
What do you think, Michael?
I think that all makes sense. You know, where I'm coming from is I really just want to make sure that I've taken them to to church, but it seems like they're bored to tears.
They're not going to age five and seven. Come on. You got to realize step at a time. You're not going to look at a 5-year-old and go, man, I want her to absorb this. No, you're lucky if you can just keep her focused straight ahead for 12% of the time. I've reached 22% of the time, which is pretty good, I think.
He's a professional. So
I'm really good.
Michael, thank you very much for the call. I do hope that was helpful. The Grandys homeschooled their children, and it was the third largest parochial school in the state of Ohio at the time.
Well, I'll tell you what. I told my wife, she went to homeschool, and I said, well, honey, how far did you go? She said, I went to the fourth grade. I said, well, okay, that's going to be a problem, so just stay 1 week ahead in the answer book. That's all you got to do. Just
really?
Stay 1 week ahead.
Your wife went to the fourth grade, huh?
Well, you know.
Does she listen? Did you have any fear at all? She's
in the other room, so she's going to be busting in here any second.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. Watch this. I'm going to get the title right this time. Family Faith Under Fire, Practical Answers to Everyday Challenges. Available now. Go to drray.com, and get yours discounted and signed. We got to take a very quick break. We will be right back with more of your questions for Dr. Ray. If you have questions about the family, about the faith, about how both are under fire in our society today and what you can do about it. Practical questions, theoretical questions, whatever you got. 888-318-7884. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Join me for Beacon of Truth today at 4 p.m. Eastern.
On the next Beacon of Truth, celebrating All Souls Day and Soulful Psalm 21.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. We're always grateful when he's here. A lot of fun, but also when it comes to the serious business, really good at helping out in practical ways, helping people to live the faith. And this one is for helping families that are under fire. Family Faith Under Fire is the new book. Check it out. And if you've got questions about raising faithful kids or maybe helping adult kids back into the faith or whatever it is, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. You talked a little bit, Dr. Ray, about parental guilt. So I heard you have a logical exercise, basically, for parents who have that guilt to help them overcome it. What is that?
A number of the questions in the book are around the theme of, I'm a failure. I failed as a parent. The one thing I wanted to do more than anything else, I've got six kids and only two of them are practicing the faith.
Yeah.
All right. Moms especially feel guilty. So I'm going to logically take away that guilt. Would you help me out here, Si?
I will help you.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Please just answer yes or no.
Okay.
Is there a God?
Yes.
Christ God?
Yes.
Was he sinless?
Yes.
Could he perform miracles?
Yes.
Did he have a perfect understanding of human nature?
Yes.
Could he get most people to follow him?
No, he could
not. Oh, so I tell these parents, let me see if I understand this.
Right.
You think you're better at passing on the faith than the God man.
Right.
Our Lord himself couldn't get most people to follow him. And I always ask parents, can you do a miracle? Can you even do a crummy card trick?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus himself couldn't get the crowds. I mean, yeah, he had a lot of crowds, but when push come to shove at the end, he couldn't get the bulk of people to follow him.
Right.
After all he could do in a culture that was much more religious than ours. So I tell parents, what do you think here? You know, do you remember the miniseries Jesus of Nazareth?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, one thing that always confused me about that miniseries is that how come the apostles all had British accents? I never did understand that.
That's the ancient British.
Now, can't be.
Right.
And you know, in one of the scenes where our Lord had risen and Mary Magdalene came to tell the apostles at the upper room, she knocks on the door. Peter comes to the door. She says, "He's risen. I saw him. He told me to tell you." And Peter's just staring at her like, yeah, what are you talking about, woman? Remember that scene? And then Thomas from back in the back of the room, you hear this, women's fantasies, like that. She went nuts.
Yeah.
She started saying, were you there? I saw him die. Then she stops. She calms herself and she says, "He told me to tell you, and I have done so." And she walks out. And I draw a parallel to parents.
Right.
He told you to raise them in the faith. And in your humanness, with all your frailties, you have done so. That's what you want to be able to say. And if you say, yeah, but I could have done better. I mean, I just, you know, well, you're not God, first of all.
Right.
And we've already said God didn't do it. So I always tell parents, what if our Lord whispered instructions into your ear every day on how to raise that child in the faith? Would that guarantee that child would raise them? No.
Still wouldn't, would it? No.
Right. Not at all. That's why my wife and I have 10 children. They're all grown now, Si. I think some of them are going to serve the church. I think some of them are going to serve time. You know, I got one going to Penn State and one going to State Penn. It's like, they're different personalities. They have different free will decisions. They have different opportunities in their life. The culture is godless. So, yes, you want to be able to say, in my humanness, I did my very best. That's what you want to be able to say. And I tell parents, if my kids go astray, I want to be able to say it's because they went through me, not because I stepped aside.
Oh, beautiful. Dr. Ray Guarendi, there's a lot of hope in that. You know, if I just extend the metaphor, Thomas and Peter both ended up coming to the faith. The Lord, is like Mary yeah. did the best she could. So maybe that says something for our children as well. We did the best we could. Now it's up to the Lord. He'll have to maybe show them the wounds or something like he did with Thomas. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Are you taking calls from Michigan today, Dr. Ray?
Yes, I am.
You are. Okay. Bridget in Ann Arbor, listening on Ave Maria Radio. We're glad you're here, Bridget. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hi. Okay, my question is that my daughter married late after she left the convent from 10 years of being in the convent. And she married a man who had two kids. And at this time, they are 9 and 12. She then, after being married, got two kids. So she has a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old. And I think she went into the family thinking, I'm just going to make this beautiful blended family. And she tried to whip them into shape because she's a great organizer. And she wanted them to go to bed at time and all that kind of stuff. And it really didn't work. So I was just there in Texas visiting her and the advice that I gave her was that she should let him do all that stuff with the older kids. And I think that's the right thing to say. Do you think that's the right thing to say? She needs to take care of those little ones and make sure they go to bed on time and that they have a routine that she can manage with the little ones, but she can't manage it with the big ones. But that's his responsibility. Is that what you would say, too?
A common dynamic in families where there are stepchildren is that the biological parent sometimes feels guilty, sometimes is permissive. The step-parent comes in and says, hey, wait a minute. You know, we got to have some structure here. We got to have some discipline here. But they run up against the biological parent for whatever the reason doesn't allow them to have that authority. And then the kids look at the step-parent and say, yeah, I don't have to listen to you. First of all, my dad or mom doesn't agree with you. And second of all, I go visit my other parent on the weekends and they're telling me I don't have to listen to you. So in that sense, a common piece of advice I give is the same thing you said. Go to the bio parent and say, these are your children biologically. So therefore, I'm turning over all discipline to you. Tell me what you want me to do that you'll back me up on. The rest of it is going to be up to you. Now, that's a hard thing to do because the family's not going to function well if you do that. It's not. But unfortunately, if you continue the battle, what happens is it creates a lot of marital problems. That's why second marriages fail 2/3 of the time. And one of the main reasons is disagreements over the kids. So yeah, you're probably on the right track on that one, Michelle. And that is, let her ask him, what authority do I have? And all you bio parents out there who have step parents, if you give them authority equal to yours, that's the best way the family will work.
Thank you very much for the call. I hope that that was helpful to you. Let's head over to The Rock in Cleveland, AM 1260 in Cleveland. Tony, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Yeah, it's kind of a question, kind of a comment. You were talking about how kids are striving to not understand the what's about the Catholic faith, but also the integrated why. That's just, in a civilian world, that's called systems thinking. Understand that the integrated why something's occurring as opposed to the standalone what's going on. And a lot of kids are being, that's a new trend that's taken hold. And that, you can see that as being a motivating force and a parallel force with what you were talking about the Catholic faith, understanding the integrated whole versus the standalone why. So.
I didn't know that. I didn't know I touched into that systems analysis type stuff.
It's called systems thinking or critical thinking.
Are they stealing my material?
I think they're just
It appears like you guys are both coming to the same point from different directions, slightly different directions, I would guess. But it's the same thing about understanding the integrated why as opposed to the standalone what. That when we grew up, I'm 70. When I grew up, it was all understanding, you know, what, the standalone what's and memorizing facts and, you know, getting which one's going to answering C on the test, making the right check mark on the test. Where nowadays it's more about critical thinking, otherwise known as systems thinking, and applying that to workable projects. And I could see that being the same thing which you're talking about in terms of understanding one's faith. What is the integrated why things are happening or happened the way they did or are the way they are as opposed to the standalone? What are the tenets of the faith?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And how much of that, Dr. Ann, we got to take a quick break, but Tony, thank you for the call. The thing about it seems to me the Christian systems analysis, or however you might want to phrase it, is that actually we're trying to introduce people to a person. It's not just a system, so to speak. It's a person. And is this something we could do better as parents? I mean, whether it's we have adult kids or we could with younger kids, maybe this is part of what we're missing, is introducing the person of Jesus.
Father Larry Richards talks heavily about how much Jesus loves us, and we dramatically underestimate how much he loves us because we don't understand that kind of love.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a way to start with the kids. Do you know who loves you more than mommy and daddy?
Yeah.
Jesus loves you more than mommy and daddy. He will always love you all the time. Focus on that whole idea that this is the one being in your life that will always be there no matter what.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. More calls to come. Your calls are welcome. 888-318-7884. When we get back, I got a question about fathers with high standards. I want to ask you if that's, does that work, having high standards as a father in the family? Family, Faith, Under Fire, the new book from Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Turn to Mary, the Mother of God, for help bearing witness to the gift of life with the National Life Rosary. Designed exclusively for EWTN, the unique centerpiece and crucifix represent the reality that all life is sacred and begins at conception. Help build a culture of life with the National Life Rosary. Available now at EWTNRC.com. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. The doctor is on EWTN radio and television networks, and you are welcome to call and talk with Dr. Ray today. 888-318-7884. Family, Faith, Under Fire is the new book. If you have a family that has faith, you know what this book is about. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who has tried who doesn't think, oh, this is way harder than it should be in the world today. The challenges just are amazing. You were talking about how the 15% maybe is as one possible number of the children of Catholic families who embrace the Catholic faith. And the other thing that's so disturbing is how young they are when they're exposed to things that are trying to take the faith away from them. I mean, we're looking at like fifth, sixth, seventh graders.
Oh, easy. Yeah, easy. The culture, I wrote a book called Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, and I talk about how the culture is like a fog, and it kind of creeps through your doors, in your windows, and it comes in into your house. In all of human history, the main influences were the parents, the clan, the family, the tribe. I mean, that was how somebody was shaped. Well, not anymore.
No.
Not anymore. The factors now, because of technology and our movement and our society, can really, really come in and shape a child's thinking. You know, dads will say to me, okay, all right, I got high standards. My kid's going to rebel. And I say, you know, one of the best defenses against your kids throwing off what you're trying to teach them is affection.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy, heavy affection. One of the things that happens when they hit adolescence is don't touch me, don't look at me, don't embarrass me out in public. And I remember as a dad, I had 7-8 teenagers at one point. There was no way at all my kids were going to tell me I couldn't kiss them in public, I couldn't hug them in public. No way. That was not going to happen. I'm Italian. I'm going to kiss you whether you like it or not.
Right.
My son used to play basketball. We had him at a local Catholic high school. Before the games, I'd sit about 5 seats in the bleachers. I'd wait for the opportune time when the boys were milling around. I would go down. I'd grab my son. I'd hug him. I'd kiss him on the neck. And I'd give him words of encouragement because I'm a psychologist. You know, I'm very affirming. I'd say, Petey, try not to stink the joint out.
You are a professional.
Now, you should have seen the people in the bleachers. They're looking at me like, this dad is breaking all the rules. Are you kidding me? Look at what he's doing.
Right.
Right there in public. Right. Oh, my gosh. And I said to Petey, I said, hey, Petey, that bother you when I do that? And he said, would it make any difference, Dad? I said, no.
Yeah.
Ty, yeah. He told me later, he said a couple of his teammates came up to him and said, I wish my dad would do that.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, you can't have enough affection if you are raising your kid counterculturally. He's looking at the culture and he's thinking, oh, yeah, you're just a bully boss is all you are because you don't let me do 3/4 of things I'm supposed to be able to do. How can all those people be wrong and you be right, Dad? With affection, it's just a constant, you don't know how much I love you. And that's why I'm doing these things. Maybe my reasoning can't convince you, but my hugs and kisses may, and me telling you how much I love you may. That's big, Ty. It is big.
That is big. And you know, it's funny that you say the thing about being Italian, because it seems to me that there is something about Italian fathers. I've seen it, you know, like a lot of in many Catholic communities, you got the Italian families, you got the Irish families, you got the German families, and there is this affection. And I wonder if what that is about Italians, because this is one of those things where, you know, cultures have good things about them and bad things about them. But in this way, it does seem that if everybody would imitate the Italians, we'd be better off. That physical affection of the Italian father is really beautiful.
All four of my grandparents came through Ellis Island. And I remember going to their house on Sundays because that was a law. You had to go to Mamo's house on Sunday and eat dinner. That's the way it was.
Yeah.
And if I walked in that house, and I was a 13-year-old, and I walked in my house, I heard my grandfather go, Raymond, you don't come over and say hello?
Yeah.
You don't come over and give me a hug? You know, and that was just understood.
Right.
That you did that. And he brought that from the old country because that was kind of the cultural expectations among the Italian people. And it's a good thing. Maybe it comes more naturally to us Italians, but a lot of times dads will say, that's not me. I'm just not like that.
Right.
And I go, well, then you better darn well be like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because when the heart is open, the mind is ready to receive. And I think that keeps the heart, the father is keeping that heart relationship open, and so the mind doesn't become like, oh God, him again with his whatever, his strict rules, or he won't let me do this.
I got several of my kids, not several, but three or four of them they're not actively practicing the faith, but none of them are antagonistic toward the church. None of them. They're not looking at the church like, gee, I hate the Catholic Church or the Catholic. No, they're not like that. It's more of a kind of a drift. And most of them, if not all of them, when we're talking on the phone, they hang up, they go, love you. That's their goodbye.
Yeah.
Love you is their goodbye. And I think that just somehow came from all that emphasis on, man, I'm going to show you I love you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to kiss you. I'm going to tell you I love you. You know, because they knew, my wife and I didn't let them do half the stuff their peers did. They knew that.
Right.
They saw it. And they couldn't figure out why. They're thinking, wait a minute, how do we get stuck with these Neanderthals over here? You know what I mean? We didn't ask to be with these people.
Right.
So it's a real counterbalance.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry if I'm pursuing this too much, but I'm very interested in it. And I wonder if when their peers came into the home, the peers felt something different in the home than, because sometimes you hear that with a family that really loves one another. Other kids will say, yeah, this is way different than in my house. This is way different.
My son Peter is 27. If I go over there and he's got his buddies there, when I leave, there's no way I'm not going to hug him and kiss him goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I love you, son. And he tells me his 27, 28-year-old friends are looking at this going, man, you and your dad are close, aren't you? Pete goes, yeah, we are. And you could tell that some of them are saying, boy, I miss that.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Right, right. Right. But they might, if they see it, they might want to give it to their children. I know fathers like that who are like, you know, they'll say, I didn't get that from my dad, but I saw this other family or I witnessed it. And they'll actively try to be that for their kids.
I wrote a book, Cy. Second book I wrote was called Back to the Family. And in it, we interviewed strong families and we asked them, okay, what are you doing here to raise these kinds of admirable kids? And there was one of the chapters called Reverse Resolve, and it touches exactly what you just said, which is many of them grew up with a lack of affection or chaos or alcoholism. And they said, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be like that. One kid said, my mother had no affection growing up. My mother's the most affectionate person I know. And I said, how'd that happen? And he said, she taught herself to be affectionate.
Right. You can do that.
What a nice line.
Yeah,
what
that's, a nice that's line. Beautiful. All right. Well, let me ask you this about your teenagers then, because I know many people experience this now. They get to be, I don't know, 13, 14, 15, 19, whatever. They're living in your house and they're like, Dad, I don't want to go to Mass anymore. I know it's important to you. It's not my thing. I think you should just respect my wishes. I don't want to go to Mass anymore. How do you handle that?
Several levels.
Okay.
One, okay, you got to understand what their objection is. It's boring, same thing, same prayers. I don't understand it. I don't like singing. Whatever it is, you got to get into their objection, figure it out.
Okay.
Secondly, it's non-negotiable. I mean, you have to go to Mass. But, you know, Dr. Ray, they'll just puke up religion when they're 19. Look at all these kids who say, you forced me to go to church, and that's why I don't go to church now, which, sigh, is a piece of nonsense.
Yeah.
That's a rationale they throw at their parents to bully them. But the vast majority of people who don't go to Mass, it's not because they went to Mass when they were kids. There's a whole bunch of other reasons, and they're just using that one to make their parents feel terrible. Okay, that's two. Three, here's something that we did with our kids. And you know as well as I do, a 15-year-old can stand in Mass and look like a pillar of salt. He's not responding. He's not saying anything.
Right.
Okay? We said, you have to show respect to our Lord, which means you pray the prayers, you respond to the prayers. If you don't, we're going to do something about it. Now, modern expert Cy would say, oh boy, just jam religion down their throat. You're going to get the exact opposite of what you want for holding them accountable for being disrespectful to God. I don't think so. I think we're making a statement. This is really important.
Right.
You may not understand it or agree, but this is the God of the universe, and you can't be rude to him.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest, if you're still welcome to call, we could probably get you on, but I want to say the name of the book again, Family Faith Under Fire, Practical Answers to Everyday Challenges. Go to drray.com or wherever you get good Catholic books and you can find it. Adrian is in San Jose, California, watching on YouTube. Adrian, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Hey, Dr. Ray, thank you so much for listening. My question is a very loaded question. There's a lot of intricate. I'm going to do the best I can because I know some of the things you're going to probably give me some advice or say something about that I have done and tried, and now I'm at the very end. So I grew up in the faith with my dad. My dad was a loving father. There was no drama. There wasn't no abuse or anything. I continued in my faith. I grew strong in my faith. And now that I'm older, I'm noticing that my dad doesn't know certain things, or maybe he's wrong on some things. So I'll say something, and I'll correct him, and that'll cause a big argument. Okay. So then, as it kept going more and more, he's starting to like despise me. He doesn't want me to be there at the house. I don't have no kids. I have no wife. I have no really good friends. All I do is love my mom and my dad. Those are the two people I love the most, and I want them to be in heaven. So when I start telling my mom, don't use God's name in vain in the house, they turn around and put a restraining order on me. And that's actually in the restraining order, along with, I don't think you love me as much as you love your other children.
And Adrian, I got to let Dr. Ray answer you because we only have a minute left. I'm very sorry to interrupt you, but I have to watch the clock.
Adrian, read the signals. They clearly don't want to be told. They don't want to be spiritually corrected. Stop doing it. Go back to them and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I was giving you my opinion when you didn't ask for it. I'm sorry. I won't do that anymore. I'll just come here and I'll love you as my father. I see that all the time, Adrian. People come in there and you're going to correct them and they're going to straighten out their religion. And they misread the cues. They don't see that the people don't want to hear it. And you're pushing them further away.
Adrian, God bless you, brother. Thank you for the call. I'm very sorry that I had to interrupt you, but as you are about to hear, the music is going to start, and that means we are at the end of the hour with Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray Guarendi's new book, I think I said it a thousand times, and maybe 40 of them I got it right. So I'm going to try again to get it right. Family Faith Under Fire, Practical Answers to Everyday Challenges. Go to drray.com to get your copy. Dr. Ray Guarendi, I always enjoy the time with you. Thank you very, very much.
Si, you are a pro, my friend.
Oh, all right. Put save that audio. Save that audio. Mark that. All right, right back with Father Jeff Kirby. We got to say goodbye now to the most beloved man in Catholic media. But we are continuing, and we'll talk about real discipleship with Dr. Jeff Kirby right after this on Catholic Answers Live.